All right, the sanctuary, according to the pattern. Let's go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 40. Exodus chapter number 40. We're almost done, believe it or not. Exodus chapter number 40. And verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Verse 3. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and the cover, and the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set it in order, and the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. So the first what? The first day of the first month. They set this up. So as we look into the tabernacle itself, the actual sanctuary part, we'll deal with the different instruments inside of it, the furniture, which is a table of showbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense, and then the veil, and then the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat, which is on top of the Ark of the Covenant. So we'll think about, we'll deal with those more in detail as the weeks go on. But the sanctuary, an overview of the sanctuary. The tabernacle was the center of the Jewish national life. You already saw that in the very, very first lesson. The actual, the whole thing, the outer court, where the tabernacle's inside, is the center of their camp. Remember, they were in the wilderness, and they were camping, they were living in tents. Well, this was in the middle of it. This was in the middle of it. This was the only man-made structure with every detail planned by God. And its purpose was to serve as a dwelling place for God amidst His people. Remember, that is a principle in life. God wants to be with us. That's why He made man in the first place. Because He wanted to have fellowship. Not that He was insufficient in Himself. He lived before that in eternity past. He was all sufficient in Himself. He didn't need us to entertain Him. He wasn't bored, so He made us. I believe, and it's my opinion, I believe that God made us so that He can share that wonderful life He has with somebody. And God made us. And we can share that. We can have eternal life through His suffering, through His death on the cross. And because He was buried, and not only that, He rose again the third day, and He lives on high. And He's an He's our mediator. And so we can have that life. We can have it. But in this time period, He had the children of Israel build this in order for Him to dwell with them. And we'll learn about the fire of the pillar of smoke and the fire by night. That's the sign that God was there. That was over the holy place. Not the holy place, the most holy. The Holy of Holies. That's another room. There's two rooms inside, as I'm getting ahead of myself. But there's two rooms inside of the sanctuary, the tabernacle. That's the holy place where the candlestick, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense is located. And then the veil separates the two rooms, and the other room has the Holy of Holies, we call, or the most holy place. And inside of that, of course, is the is the Ark of the Covenant. But the materials for the sanctuary, let's just look at that really quick. Okay, the tabernacle was the center, and it was planned by God. And the materials for the sanctuary, the sockets of silver. Let's turn to Exodus 26. We're in Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter number 26. In verse number 19 and 25. Carpenters probably know a lot more of these terms. And some of the terms they use we don't use today. But sockets are like the little holes that they had. So let me show you this. Exodus chapter 26 and verse number 19. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and the 2 sockets under the other board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards, and 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it, unto one ring, thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets another under another board. So if you're confused with all of those sockets, boards, and stuff, remember this. This was a movable piece of the whole thing. The whole thing moved. They can move it. So they had to have it this way so it could be taken apart. There was no nails used. There was no glue, nothing. It was all movable stuff. They can take it apart. It's just like this pulpit was put together. You can take it apart and transport it. That's what the purpose of this, because they were always on the move. And so God had designed this tabernacle to be taken apart. And you'll see it more in detail. Let me see if I got a better picture here so you can see. I believe I do. Nope, that's not it. Nope, I don't have it in this set. Maybe next time. Materials, the sockets of silver. And what was silver representing of? Atonement. Atonement. 2 sockets of silver per board. A total of 48 boards were used for the walls of the tabernacle itself. And that totals to 96 sockets. The 4 pillars for the veil each had 1 socket, total of 4 sockets. Each socket was made of four sockets. It was made of pure silver. It was made of pure silver. So the 4 sockets were all made of pure silver. This is talking about the pillars for the veil. At 100 pounds each, the total weight was around 5 tons. So that's a lot of weight. And they had to travel with these things. I would hate to be the ones to do this, moving this around. Because remember those families that we studied before that had designations of what they were supposed to do? One was to carry, one was to transport this furniture, one was to take it apart. And they were responsible for many particular things that needs to be done. And so 100 pounds, each of those sockets, of the pillar, were the pillar that the veil hanged on. That's a lot. That's a lot of heavy stuff carrying around. So it's a total of 5 tons, the sockets. 5 tons of silver, all of it. 5 sockets of brass were used for the door of the tabernacle under the 5 pillars. See the door. Here we go. Let me show you the picture. Bring this down for a second. You got that pretty much taken care of. Here we go. All right, I'm going to get this right sooner or later. This is the door to enter in. This is not the veil. The door, this is the pillars, this are the sockets, silver sockets, right up here. There's some in the bottom you can't see right now. But this is the materials that they made. What? Purple, blue, scarlet, fine linen. As you can notice, they don't have all the colors in this particular one, but normally they do. this is the pillars. This is the door to enter in. Once you enter inside here, you'll see on your left side the candlestick. The right side of the table of showbread, and if you go a little further, right before the veil was the altar of incense. And then you'll see there the veil had 4 of these inside of this. So there'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 pillars. And then the veil hanging on that, and inside is the Ark of the Covenant. So that's what it looks like, the door of the sanctuary. When you hear the door, this is what they're talking about, right here. The gate was outside. Remember that other gate that talked about the courtyard? Well, this is what? The door and then the veil. Those are the entrances, the 3 entrances. The gate to enter into the courtyard, the door to enter into the sanctuary, to the holy place, and then to go into further to the Holy of Holies, you go through the veil. And we know that only the high priest could go into the veil. And the priest can go inside of here. So that's what it looks like a little bit. Okay, the silver foundation speaks of all things pertinent to our relationship with God being based on the atonement. Remember that, silver atonement, brass judgment. It'll help you a whole lot. For man by Christ himself. So that speaks of that. Remember, it's all a reminder to the children of Israel what all these things mean. They're pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, the instruments, even the sacrifices themselves that was made, all of it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It always pointed to Him. These are all just little things, little object lessons that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the silver speaks of Christ's atonement. The walls were made of shittim wood. Walls of shittim wood covered with gold. We can read it in Exodus 26, 15, and 29. The north and south sides of the tabernacle were made up of 20 boards, each and the west side was made of 6 boards. Remember, there is no boards on the east side. The tabernacle always faces the east. The east side had what? 5 pillars with sockets of silvers. And so there is no they didn't need boards there. But the west side, which is the side that the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies, that was covered with 6 boards. And then we read earlier in Exodus, remember those 2 different things? The corners of it had to be done very, very specifically. And imagine 20 boards, and then the corners has to be done. There's 8 boards this way, so they have to connect the 8 boards to 20 boards on the both sides. And the corner had to be done very, very specifically. And we read that earlier how they did that. I'm losing that. Each of these boards was 10 cubits tall by 1.5 cubits. Why? So it's about 20 feet by 2 feet and 3 inches. So it's a very tall building. It's a tall board. And each of those boards come apart. Each of those boards come apart. So it's amazing how they did this. It's amazing the structure. And then imagine there's sockets on the bottom. The tenons are like the, if you could say, the doll rods that they set on. And the socket is to keep it like, you know, this might be the socket of the pillar. And there's a tenon, like 2 rods coming in so that you can set the board on. It's beautiful. It's beautiful how it was done. It's gorgeous. There were 2 boards were used for the tabernacle corners. This is what I was talking about. Each 1.5 cubits wide. There were 2 tenons in the bottom of each board, which fit into the silver sockets for support. That's what the tenons are, like 2 doll things, you know. They drilled a hole inside the boards. There's 2 holes inside the boards, like a rectangular board, 20 feet high, and by 2 and 3 inches wide. And they set it right in there. It's pretty amazing. It's a puzzle. It's a big puzzle. Each board had gold rings through which staves of wood, also covered with gold, would pass horizontally from one end of the tabernacle to the other. Let me see if my picture will show a little bit of that here. Okay, this is a little bit over here for a second. Kind of get the idea. By the way, these are the coverings, which we'll talk about later. The different coverings, the first layer, the second, the red ram skin. This is the badger skin, the goat skin, and then the fine linen, which had all the colors. The blue, the purple, and I'm missing a bunch of it. Scarlet and fine linen, the white. And those had what? Representation. They all had meaning. The colors had meaning. And you see the sockets and the hooks. Here's the staves. I don't know if you can see that well. See how that's how they were connected. 2 on the bottom side. This goes run along this side. There's 20 boards right here. And that goes run along the whole way that way. And 2 on the top. And then 1 went through right down the middle of it. So it was drilled. So this individual boards had a hole right through the middle of it horizontally. And then 2 holes in the bottom to put the 2 tenons in. And they were set, each one of them, in the socket. And these kept them from wobbling this way. It kept them sturdy. It's amazing how they did it. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Okay. I'm doing good. I'm not messing up my notes today. Perfect. Here we go. We're back to this. You guys got most of the notes taken down? Each board had gold rings to which the staves, which is a rod of wood also covered with gold, would pass horizontally from one end of the tabernacle to the other. The rods increased the stability. They assisted in the setup and take down of the tabernacle. A 5th rod passed through the center of the boards from one end to the other on the 3 sides, north, south, and west. So you got that. The wall speaks of Christ, who was God manifest in the flesh, yet without deity. Remember, the shittim wood speaks of God, God's humanity. God was made flesh for us. Philippians 2, chapter verse 7. He was the perfect mediator, Hebrews 4, 15. Why? Because he was touched by the feelings of our infirmities. As a man, he was touched with the feeling of infirmities. Why? Because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, obviously. But God knew how a man lived, because he lived like a man when he was on earth. He was God. He was 100% God, 100% man at the same time. But yet he experienced the frailty of man. He was hungry. he had sometimes sleepy. We know that he slept on the boat. We know that he ate fish and bread. So he suffered the same things that we suffer, the pain and the aches. The Bible tells us he had nowhere to lay his head. So it's amazing what God, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us in order to purchase us back. See, when God created us, Adam and Eve belonged to God. Remember, in one of the genealogies, if you go back, it says Adam. And then from Adam, God. Adam's father was God. He was the creator God. And so man, from the beginning, was God's. We were God, but through sin, we broke that relationship and we canceled it. And we went on our own and we cut that off. But God brought his son to us to reconcile us, to bring us back into the rightful place, a rightful relationship with God. And I tell you, you can't have a relationship with God without the Lord Jesus. You can try, you can work, you can do all that you think you can do to have a relationship with the Lord God. But you can't, not without accepting his son as your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Currents, Exodus 26:1-6. The currents, you can read that in your own time. Four sets of currents were used for the tabernacle. The first was an integrated part of the structure known as the official tabernacle. That's the first covering. That's had all the colors in it. The purple speaks of royalty. Blue speaks of deity. Gold speaks of what? All right, don't answer me. The red speaks of what? All right, remember those colors. I'm not going to give you the answer to them. But the currents, Exodus 26:1-6, four sets of currents were used for the tabernacle. The first one had all of those colors. And the other three were considered coverings for the tabernacle. The second set of currents, which was goat, which was the goat skin, that was the second set of currents. That was called the tent. So you had the covering, the first layer, which had all the colors. The second layer is the goat skin, which is called the tent. And that's the third, which is the red ram's skin, which is the third covering. And then the fourth covering, which is the badger skin, which they say is a sea elephant skin or whatever. That's what they're thinking, that's what it looked like. Were coverings for the tent. So that's a little bit of that. Moving on. There you go. The white linen, blue, scarlet, and purple. This might give you the answer again. Of Christ in glory, of perfect righteousness. That's what the white linen signifies. And it had the blue, the scarlet, and the purple with it. Because they were all white, they were dyed in these different colors. Remember? They were all white linens, but they were dyed in different colors. And they were used in different things. It speaks of Christ in glory and perfect righteousness. There were 10 tabernacle curtains made of fine linen with purple, scarlet, and with blue, scarlet, and purple woven into it. Each curtain was 28 cubits long by 4 cubits wide, so it's 42 feet by 6 feet. That's how tall, how long the curtains were and how wide they were. They were sewn together, and we'll read about that. There were two sections of curtains. 5 curtains were sewn together to cover the holy place. And 5 were sewn together to cover the Holy of Holies and the back. So that's what it is. That was the first covering that had all the colors. And it's amazing how they did it. It was all sewn. It was one strip going like this. One strip. And there was 10 of them put together to cover the holy place. 5 and then 5 to cover the Holy of Holies. The two sections were joined together. Were joined just above the veil by 50 golden patches in conjunction with the 50 blue loops in each curtain. So here it is. You got the 5 curtains right here. Yay long, you got the dimensions up there, and yay wide. So you got that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These were sewn together, just regular sewing. They just sewed it together. And then at the 5, then you got the other 5 this way, where they meet. They had loops. What? Just like buttons. We have buttons right here, right? The loops, that's what they did. And they sewed around the hole. They used a blue, what is that, a blue? It was blue. That's what they used. So the loops were blue, a bunch of them. 50 of them, in fact. And then in those things, They had it on this five currents and on this five currents. Where they meet, they put rings of gold, so they cover them together. So that's how it was. And that line, when they put it over the tabernacle itself, that line that attaches, the 50 attaches and 50 loops of blue, was right on the veil. Right on the four pillars of the veil. Boom, right there, squared in. So that's how it looked like. I'm just trying to help you a little bit. I got more pictures of it when we go in different details about the curtains. And I'll show you the some transparency. But, so that's what it was. Two sections were joined just above the veil, 50 golden patches in conjunction with the 50 blue loops in each curtain. The combined length of the curtains measured 28 cubits by 40 cubits, 42 feet by 60 feet this way. So when they put them all together, there's 10 curtains. When they're all put together, that's how long they are. 42 feet. They're 42 feet long, 60 feet long and 42 feet wide. The cherubims were woven into the linen curtains. Only the priests could see the beauty of the curtain. You wonder why, you say, why is that? Remember the coverings? The only thing that the people from the outside, this is the outside of the inner court, this is the courtyard, the only thing they saw was the badger skin. And the badger skin doesn't look really good. They said it might be like a skin of some kind of sea cow or something like that. That's what they're trying to refer it to. We don't really have, I looked it up, badger. They don't have any description of what a badger is. It's an animal, for sure, but we don't know what it is. Something is a skunk-looking animal. So I don't know, but that's what it was. So you couldn't see this. The priests, when they walked inside, maybe out here, they could see it, but nobody else could see the beauty of this curtain. It was forever covered. You couldn't see it. The only thing that people saw was this, the white linen from the outside, which is the silver chapiters, and then you got the staves of gold and the rings and the brass cords and the pins in the bottom. So that's all they saw. They saw humanity, they saw silver, which is atonement, they saw judgment. Christ had to come in human form to take man's judgment so we can be atoned. And that's what people saw from the outside. Before you can see the beauty of God, you must come first face to face with your sin, your humanity, which we're frail and we're human and we have sin, and face up with our judgment and then find some way of atonement. Before you can see the beauty of what God has. Did we finish this one? I want to make sure. All right, I'm really confusing myself. There we go. The cherubims. And you can read that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the cherubims. They were woven into the thing. And you're going to find out in the veil, the cherubims were also interwoven in the clothing. And at the door as well. So that's why you saw the first picture, this one right here, had it in it. See the cherubims? So that's what that was for. Okay, we're moving on. Good. Very good. All right, the second color is what we call the goat skin, the second layer, or the tent. Exodus 35, 11, 36, 14, 40, 19, 26, 7, 11, and 14. You can read those. It talks of Christ, the lowly servant. Christ, the lowly servant. That covering, that's what it signifies. He was our substitute. There were two sets of curtains. The front included six curtains, while the section that covered the most holy place and the west end was made of five curtains. Each individual curtain was 30 cubits by 4 cubits, 45 feet by 6 feet. So it was a little bit longer than the curtains itself. Each individual curtains completely covered the linen curtains. The two sections were connected in the same way as the linen curtains, with the exception of the patches being of brass rather than gold. So now, here it comes, goat skins. So on this side of it, which is the holy place, there's six of them. So with that dimension, 30 cubits by 4 cubits. So you got six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they're all sewn together. And one hanged over a little bit on the door. The little bit of the door, remember the five pillars of the door and the door itself, which is made out of those fine linen with blue, scarlet, and blue, and purple. And so that was hanging over there a little bit. And then again, at the veil, the four pillars and the veil, they had tatchets, 50 tatchets with loops inside of them. I don't know if the loops were made of blue this time. I'm not sure. It doesn't tell us specifically. But the patchets was made of brass. So there's brass instead. So you see again, humanity and brass. Humanity talks about humbleness, being humble. That's the badger skin, signifies that. And the brass, again, speaks of judgment. So that's what you saw outside. That's what you saw outside. And so that's what it was. The sixth curtain was doubled over, but was still visible for the front of the tabernacle. That's what I was talking about. It was hanging over. It was doubled, like looped up. And you can see that at the door. Okay. Spoke of keeping the fact of Christ's sacrifice for us, even becoming sin for us, as a constant reminder. It's a constant reminder. The goat. That's a little bit about the goat. The scapegoat, the Bible talks about, speaks of our sins taken as far as the east. Psalms 103, verse 12, speaks of our sins being taken as far as the east is from the west. Our substitution rests in the righteousness of Christ. That's what we hope to. That's what we trust in. Christ is righteous, and He covered us with His righteousness. So when we get to heaven, God sees His righteousness in us. And that's our hope. That's our substitute. His righteousness. Our acceptance of Christ in His substitutionary death, which was accepted by God already, results in our atonement. Hebrews 9:28, 1 Peter 2:24, and John 1:29. Moving along, we're doing good. And at any time you get confused, you got references in your notes, and you can always look them up. All right, the goat was typically the animal for the sin offering. The ram skin speaks of sin, of Christ, the offering for sin. Leviticus 16:5. The goat was used in the atonement for the altar and on the Day of Atonement. Remember what they did with the atonement of the altar, the stone of the brazen altar? They made it holy. When they atoned it, it was made holy. And thus, when they did that, anybody that touched the altar, anything that touched the altar, became holy. Because Christ wanted us to what? Come to Him, a simple man, in a holy way. In a holy way. God provides the holiness. All we have to do is accept it. In our part, we don't have to come with a sacrifice, because our sacrifice was the Lord Jesus. And so, it was used in the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. And those are, in their own, a good study for you to think about all the Passover, all the feasts that the Jews celebrated. It's amazing. I don't have time to explain all of those. So, the ram skin, which is the third layer of the, or first covering for the tent. Because the fine twine linen, the blue, scarlet, and purple, were part of the tabernacle. The first covering was called the tent. So technically, the third covering, if I'm not confused already, is the first covering. So that's the ram skins dyed red. Exodus 26:14. The ram spoke of blood, of anointing. Exodus 29:15-22. Speaks of Christ as the sacrificial lamb. Isaiah 42:1, Matthew 12:18. Everybody keeping up with me with taking notes? I guess so. You guys are all happy up there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Luke 4:18-19. The ram skin spoke of dedication and submission unto death for the flock. That was the red ram skin dyed red. That's what I was talking about. The significance is seen in Isaiah, in Isaac's history. The ram acted as his substitute. Remember that story when Abraham took Isaac up to the mount and he sacrificed and he was about to slay Isaac, and God shook him up or showed Abraham, hey, there was a ram caught up in the thicket. And so that's what it was. It speaks of substitute. Christ is our sacrificial substitute, consecrated for the purpose, for that purpose since before Abraham's time. Remember, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The church was in existence before the creation. The idea of church, the idea of relationship between God and man was already instilled before God ever made the first man. It's amazing. It's amazing. There are no dimensions given for the layer of ram skins. I don't know how they put it together. I'm sure there's not a ram out there that big for them to use the whole skin and cover, but they didn't tell us if they sewed it together. They didn't tell us if they glued it per se. I don't know how they did it. But somehow they came up with that dimension. And they covered the tent, which is the goat skin. There are no dimensions given for the layer of ram skins, although they are said to be a covering for the tent, goat skins. Okay, rams were used in trespass and burnt offerings. So there's a little bit of that. Moving on, the badger skins. The badger skins. The badger skin. Let's see. I'm going to cut off right there right now. And we'll move on. We'll finish this next week. And then we'll hit, go ahead and talk about the table of showbread or the candlestick, whatever I feel like I want to teach you. So let's go ahead and end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time that you provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. It signifies so many things, Lord. The colors, and Lord, how they all picture you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, again, as we look at this, as we see some of the significance of the colors, as we look at them, you have fulfilled all of it. And Lord, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the atonement that you have given us. We thank you that you took our place, that you took the judgment we deserved, and you were our substitute. And Lord, thank you today that I can rely and I can trust only in your righteousness, whereby I can enter heaven's glory someday. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. And help the next servant, help pastor as he travels here, give him safety. Pray that you'd use the message that he has prepared. And Lord, work through him and speak through him today. We pray for lost people as they come. We pray for believers and members of the church that we all would get something that we personally need. Help us, Lord, to be in tune with your Holy Spirit. We love you and thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.